Welcome back to the MTR Network. We are back to talk the last three episodes of Black Lightning, Book of the Apocalypse, Alpha and Omega, as well as the end of, what was the last one? Book of
something?
It was chapter four of the last book, although really what they should have done was just made this a one-off episode, because it tangentially connected to the rest of the book and then kind of just did its own thing. It was almost, it felt like a standalone episode setting up for the next thing rather than a conclusion to what we had already seen. So
did that 14th episode really set up anything that
it introduced
one part in like the last episode.
It introduced a couple of things that that you needed going into the last two. But also I felt the same way about the first episode, the Alpha episode. That felt like another setup episode because so much happened in the finale.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, so it's just the two of us. It's just me here with D. How did you feel about these final three episodes?
Okay, I will say, so let's assume each episode is roughly about, say, 42 minutes of actual screen time. I'd say about the first, say, 123 minutes of all that, I was like, okay, this is okay. Then the last 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, really? which made me think to the point, okay, so maybe this could be interesting going into season three if I trusted the writers. I don't, because there are some elements there that they could really be. Interesting. One other thing I didn't like about this episode, it just seemed like there were certain things that weren't wrapped up like I would have liked. I mean, you don't necessarily look, if you're going to introduce something, at least don't kind of leave it hanging, or at least you show you have a plan for it going into season three. Like Lala, I have no idea what they're doing with that. Grace, have absolutely no idea where they're going with that. And so I'm like, okay, so why did you even bring Lala back to begin with? That made almost, you could have basically gotten rid of episode 14 and like, I would not have noticed it. I'm basically in because of those last, just because of the whole Markovian angle that could be interesting. I think that there's a possibility that if the writing doesn't improve, or, maybe they even bring it into the larger Arrowverse universe, that whole Markovian angle could be interesting, especially if you've sort of... Kind of watched the most recent season of Young Justice, at least the first half of it. But I mean, it's sort of meh. I mean, and overall, it's sort of meh. But I'm going to keep watching regardless, because I'm kind of a sucker for that kind of thing. Even though when a show gets bad, I will still continue to watch. But one good thing. The music that they chose was pretty good.
Oh, the music was great, except I still think funk music is the wrong choice for some of the fight scenes. I get why they do it. They definitely go with this like Black Lightning funk angle, but some of the songs are too upbeat for the seriousness of the fight. So that annoys me.
Although when they used the Ohio Players Fire, that was like, they kind of had to use that.
But that made perfect sense because the villain was a fire villain. And on top of it, the villain was kind of silly. So it's okay to kind of have that silly moment. But sometimes they do like the funk music. And it's like a very like, I don't know, the fight scene feels like more serious or more dire, and then they're playing like funk music. I think it's cool when it's being played for laughs, but when it's like an actual like scene, like intense scene, then I'm like, yeah, you're kind of ruining the vibe.
What would you prefer?
Well, that's the thing. They don't always do it. So, for instance, in the fight scene where they were fighting all four of the Masters of Mayhem at the same time, that actually mm-hmm. didn't have a funk song to it. It just had, like, regular kind of, like, background superhero fighting music.
Yeah.
So, I just notice, like, little things like that when it's messing up. So, here's my thing. There's a very small chance I might still watch this show, but there is a very real chance that I will not be reviewing this show anymore. The reason I can't review this show is because if you're asking me to watch it and for it to make sense and for me to critique whether or not it makes sense, I can't do that because it doesn't. Now, if you're asking me to watch it just as somebody watching it, turning my brain off, it's playing in the background. Sure, this is a lovely show. It's fun. I like the family. I like the music. But if you're asking me to actually like follow the story that they're trying to tell, I don't understand the story they're trying to tell. The writers undermine their own writing. Like within like a scene, they will undermine their own writing. And I'm like, just one example. Lynn finds the pod kids. Odell comes in with his whole strike team. Tobias lets the pod kids out of their pods. Lynn steps away to tell Jefferson what's happening. First of all, I don't know how in the middle of all this going on, you managed to step away to go call Jefferson in secret. And then by the time Jefferson and Anissa show up, Odell and all of his people have left. And she doesn't know where they went. And the pod kids are just roaming free. It makes no logical sense. In the scene before, and basically what it was they wanted Jefferson and Anissa to show up and for Lynn to be there and for Odell and them not to be there because Odell supposedly, as far as they know, doesn't know that he's Black Lightning. And so they're trying to like keep that big reveal for the last scene. So Odell disappears with his whole like hit squad of people. Even though their whole thing is that they've been trying to get the podcast to use them as weapons, but they just left and let the pod kids wander off so that we can find them one by one next season.
Yeah. Odell, I mean, I like Bill Duke and all, but I mean, okay. So at least we get to know what, I mean, it took to like the last episode, but we do finally get to know his motives. And because we couldn't tell whether he was just a good guy, a good guy doing bad things, a bad guy. It was, I kind of wish they would have made it at least a little bit more clear, but,
We still don't know his motives.
Well, I think what he's trying to do is basically use them as a strike force against Markovia. Now, whether I don't think he has the we obviously know he doesn't have the podcast's best interest in mind. He just has his best interest in mind, and I still am trying to figure out why he felt the need to kill that when they were. When they were surveilling the Pierce household, mm-hmm. and then he said, "Ask the group, you know, does anyone else know that you're here, or does anyone else know about this?" No, and then what was the point of killing them?
So that they couldn't tell anybody that the Pierces were Black Lightning and Thunder.
Well, I understand that, but But if he was just going to do that, then why not just set everything up himself? Unless he just knows how to... So again,
doesn't make sense because he wants them to be a strike force or not even. He's if his whole point is to build up his own army of like pod kids and superheroes against the Markovians, and you killed people to keep the Jefferson, the Pierce's secret, why are you trying to talk them into being your thing? Like, you would think he would just grab them, like how he grabbed the pod kids. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess in that case, the pod kids don't really know what they can do. Jefferson and Anissa does. Jennifer clearly does not at this point. Well, she kind of does at the end, but not really. So, I don't know.
So this is what I mean. It's like, the reason why this is not something that I can really get into is because they constantly undermine the thing that they just set up. For instance, the Lala episode. The Lala episode, he comes in, he returns back from the dead. He doesn't remember anything about his life. The last thing he remembers is his cousin Earl and something with Jefferson, and he thinks Jefferson is the reason Earl is dead. This is a man who does remember that he is cursed to remember the people that he killed, but somehow the big reveal was that he killed Earl. Like, big surprise. Then they spend the whole episode with him not being able to remember and Jefferson trying to, like, piece together the story with him, like, you know, give him memories of his cousin. All it takes for him to remember is to see a picture of Earl. That was all it took for him to remember everything that happened. So you mean he knows Earl and Jefferson Pierce, that's the only thing he knows. And he just walked straight from wherever he came from, straight to Jefferson. Didn't stop to look at nothing else. Didn't go home and look at any family photos. Like, nothing. Didn't do a quick Google search on the internet. Nothing. So this is the first time he's seeing his cousin's picture, and it all comes rushing back. It was dumbest shit.
I thought, on the whole, that was a halfway decent episode. I just couldn't quite figure out, okay, I was like, I remember I was taking notes for stuff, I'm like, I hope there's a point for bringing back Lala.
I mean, the whole point was for him to go after Tobias, but again...
But that's
why we didn't have to have this, like, Stand By Me at, like, extra, like, super dramatic scene. Lean On Me moment where he comes to the school. It didn't have to be that. Like, it could have just been him remembering all of the bad shit that Tobias did. It could have been him going straight to Tobias.
Yeah, I was fully expecting him to go after Tobias and to die. That clearly didn't happen, but I mean, the only reason I'm thinking you bring back Lala, maybe they needed to pay William Catlett some money and they, you know, maybe his contract said, I need to be in this many episodes, and realized, wait, crap, we're like an episode or two short. And so they just came up with this.
It feels like they wanted to, like, fully go Tattoo Man and, like, bring this character back and make him this unkillable thing. Okay, it could have been interesting. It really could have been interesting had Lala, like, actually taken him down. I don't, like, I get if you want to make this character some, like, unkillable character that you can always bring back because you like the actor or because you like the character or whatever. I get that. But this was just, it was such a waste. And it's a waste because of the writing. It's a waste because they undercut themselves.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question. So let's say that they make an announcement and they're bringing in new writing staff for next year for this show. Are you taking a little bit more closer look at it?
I mean, I'll watch the first episode, but okay. The end. I mean, there's so many other things, but like the end. So at the end, you know, we get a little montage. Tobias is on his way to prison and, you know, everybody is doing their like whole like little moment, like Jefferson and them are having their happy moment. And then all of a sudden is Odell has three kids still in the pod. The kid from the beginning of the season who makes people tell the truth, basically. Yeah. Wendy and Khalil.
Khalil, yes.
Khalil, who we like definitively killed over a series of episodes. We had to have a whole ass him going on to heaven and Jen saying goodbye, like prom scene with the two of them. Like, Jen spent like the past two episodes talking about some, like, you all still have the chance to find love, but my love left with Khalil. That same Khalil you decide to throw back into the final minutes of the final episode? It's a, if you can't respect your own show, why do you expect me to? This makes no sense. You know,
that wasn't even the worst resurrection. At least, it was. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Revan Holt die earlier?
Oh my god! So, Khalil, I at least understand. Here we go. So, this is my thing. Even if you're completely undermining your own writing, because really the only good thing about those episodes where Khalil was dying was like those final scenes between him and Jen. So, like, even though you're completely undermining your own writing, I will at least take that you would want Khalil back. Reverend Holt? We're resurrecting Reverend Holt? For why? I'm sorry.
Absolutely no reason to do so. I mean,
I love Clifton Powell. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, like, he's right up in there with, like, my, you know, old black man actors you see in everything. Like, I love him. He's great. But he's not that good that we are resurrecting this man and we saw fall to death in church after he was already shot at. Oh my god. That man is like the unkillable preacher.
But they but they give no reason as to why. Just wait.
He was like, God rose me off my deathbed to give another one of these sermons that y'all love to put over a montage. Like, no explanation. It's not even like, you know how usually on a show like this you'd be like, no body, no death. It's not even that, because we've seen this man's body fall to the ground like 200 times. It's like no funeral, no death. Like, until we get a funeral with a different preacher sermonizing, they're not gonna kill this man.
They could have, I don't know why they couldn't have done that. I mean, one of those two assistant preachers that was propping him up could have come and said some words or something.
It was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. They were like, it was like they killed him and then they got to the end of the season and they were like, dang, we should have a scene in the church. Shoot. Well, let's just say Reverend Holt's still alive. made no sense.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed. Then Tobias, the man who has spent all season, we find, trying to build a metahuman army that he's going to sell to the highest bidder.
Destroy it, like, in a fit of rage. I mean,
he destroys it in a fit of rage. Mind you, after, like, an episode ago, also, like, sending out his best person and, like, willing to sacrifice them to have them fight Black Lightning. Like, you are literally creating your commercial for your, like, super metahuman army. And you're like, I don't care if the person dies on screen. The whole season. That was his whole goal. The whole season. And they undermined it in two scenes.
Okay. The questions. Were you... Did the whole Tobias Cutter breakup make you, that whole situation behind that, make you feel uncomfortable?
No, they needed to break up because, number one, she was always too good for him. And he was, two, he was clearly crazy. And three, he is the type of dude that will kill you in a fit of rage and not care that you are his girlfriend. It's like very,
I guess I was thinking, because just the whole, I was kind of hoping they wouldn't go into some sort of weird domestic violence sort of.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I'm glad she left. I'm glad
they didn't do that.
I'm glad she left, because it would have been, that would have been the next scene.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised. There was a couple scenes where she looked at him like, I don't know if I should be really afraid of him. And she said, I'm good. Although, well, one thing that they never made clear, at least as far as I can know, is that they never, why did they break up in the first place?
Oh, I mean, I always got the sense that, like, you know, he's an ass. He doesn't seem like somebody who's looking to be in a relationship.
Yeah, I understand that, but was it he was just an ass, or was he a violent ass?
I mean, I'm sure he was.
Was there?
This is Tobias.
Yeah, I just, it's possible.
There was like a moment where it seemed like Dr. Jace was trying to shoot her shot at Tobias. And I was a little, that was weird.
Yeah, Dr. Jace, I never thought she was trying to die. I just thought she was backing Dr. Jace, which means trying to go with the winning team.
Yeah, but it was also like, you should partner with me, not her. I don't know, it just felt weird.
Okay. Have you seen Young Justice, the most recent season of Young Justice?
No, I haven't seen any season of Young Justice.
Okay. If you get a chance, watch it, and then think back, and then, because there's some elements of that kind of mix in with this, then you're thinking, just you. You'll, without spoiling it for anyone who wants to listen to this, you'll think, but it's, anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, next season, I'll watch. maybe it won't. At least, with the Mark, I mean, one of my earlier complaints was that they never really explained Markovia, and it seemed like they kind of had a plan, but they don't.
I think they were expecting people to just know what it is. Like, just expecting people, like, if you're this deep in the universe, you know what Markovia is.
I don't think they know their audience that well.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who only watch this because it's a black superhero show and are not attached to any of the other shows.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm like, you kind of need to explain that a little bit more, but...
A lot of assumptions. They assume a lot of stuff. They also think we're dumb. Oh, that's the other thing. Let's figure out the whole Grace thing, but not... Like, let's spend, like, 3 episodes trying to figure out what's going on with Grace. Figure it out at the end, but not actually ever have Grace come back.
Okay, so... Grace... What is she...
I don't even know. Like, Grace is... Apparently, she... transforms into an old man version of herself. I actually meant to look it up and find out what her power was in the comic, because I don't remember that being her power.
I thought her power was just she could get really hard.
Yeah, like, well, that's... Hold on. Yeah, hold on.
It wasn't really... Sorry.
I'm just looking it up right now. Yeah, metahuman levels of strength, heightened durability and endurance, as well as regeneration and increased healing. Nothing about changing into an old Chinese man. She's supposed to be like an Amazon. Yeah.
And it took Anissa long enough to figure out, another thing that the Black Lightning Tobias fight scene was underwhelming.
Well, I love the Jen Tobias fight scene. That was great.
Well, I don't. There was Jen was has obviously been the bright spot of this entire series. She, you actually got to see her being giddy one episode, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
She got the suit, but.
Yeah, it was really cute. And like Jefferson having that whole flashback when she was little, that was adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. And Black Lightning writers, if you're listening to this podcast, Kate Guy, really? Really, come on. I mean, with the platform shoes, really, that's the best you could do.
The Kate other guy. Thing was that they made it seem like, I don't know, like the streets go up for Cape Guy. I was like, nobody's marching, nobody's It was like they were like, let's throw a random Black Lives Matter protest in there for fun.
I thought this was just I when did you watch these last 3 episodes?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, that's about what I did too.
Like, I wouldn't have even known that it was the finale, except that I watched so many other CW shows that I saw a thing that was like, you know, this like season finale of Black Lightning, and I was like, oh, I thought the finale was not for another couple weeks. I was like, oh, we should really talk. That's where I was. I was not even trying to watch them. I'm really disappointed. I just feel like I don't know what happened in the writer's room. I don't know if it was just the other behind the scenes stuff, but they really dropped the ball this season.
Yeah. Do we have any update about what the Salim Akil situation?
I don't know. It's always like that with these stories though. It's like very big and then, kind of nothing. And you don't know what the like follow-up is. As far as I know, they basically said they were canceling Love Is, but like the CW said they didn't find any. I think their thing was they didn't find any wrongdoing with him in relation to the show. So, like, obviously he didn't try and like get with anyone on the staff or anything like that. So as far as I know, like, there's nothing else about replacing him, though.
Okay, so... Here's
a question. Yeah, and it got renewed already, and the head of the CW said he's standing with him and blah, blah, blah.
Next season, and I know we're, you know, whatever your feelings on that is, this show has purposely tried to stay away from a sort of villain of the week format, which is something that you see in the other Arrowverse shows. If they're going to do the Markovian thing, they're going to kind of have to go villain of the week, at least to a certain extent, because they have to establish why Markovia is so dangerous, because they haven't done that yet. So I think they're going to have to sort of change up the way the show is done a little bit. You're probably going to see, because it's Markovia, you're probably going to see a lot more white people in this show. So I don't know how that's going to make some of its core audience feel. So I think this next season, the show is going to have to be markedly different just because of the Markovian angle. I don't know if our writers are good and can handle that. Just up to, you know, the evidence that we have now is that they can't. Let's just say it really could be good. This could be like Star Trek Enterprise season, was it 3 or 4 good, where like the show was about to get canceled, but that's when it started getting actually good. So I'm kind of hoping that it just finds its footing next season, and just it's the storylines tend to be a little bit more even and a little bit more, you know, linear. I want this show to be good. I really, really do. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Sorry.
I'm like, I got nothing.
I'm good.
I may watch the first episode. I may not. It all depends. Who knows how I'll feel next October. I know I won't be rushing to watch it. Okay, we have some feedback. First up, Sherrod B wants to know, was waiting for Jen to get her suit. Girl nearly went Super Saiyan to get Tobias. Tobias is locked up. Lala is Winter Soldier. Good setup for next season. I hope that a black woman is named showrunner for next season, and this will stay away from Arrowverse or just be an Earth not yet seen.
Okay, so he said that Tobias is the, not Tobias, Lala is
Winter Soldier, yeah. Okay. I don't know if that, I didn't read it as like Tobias is controlling him anymore. That was kind of like an attack. Like it was done to like slow him down and incapacitate him. But I don't think Tobias is in control of him anymore.
Yeah, but okay. We'll see what happens.
Because he wasn't able to make him do anything after that. It just stopped him from attacking in that moment.
Yeah.
Next up, Joseph says, glad Jen got her suit. Tobias in jail won't last. Anissa's still the worst. The Markovian Wars, interesting, but not that interesting. I'm sitting out at least the first 3 episodes until I hear from y'all.
Well, you probably won't hear from us.
Yeah. Unless it's me complaining on Twitter.
No, if you let's just say this. If you do hear from us, they were really good. They were really good.
Tell you. And even then, I might not know until like a month or two in because I won't be paying attention. Chase says, here is my conundrum. This show is borderline laughable, but the ending was just interesting enough to make me want to tune in next season. One, that's where you are. Mm-hmm. One, Jen is cool. Serious Phoenix vibe. Two, Nig Crawler is back with line of sight teleportation that allows him to teleport out of his line of sight immediately in order to get to the next scene.
Oh, I forgot he was in this.
That's another thing. Brought my man in halfway through the season, didn't have another episode that mentioned him at all, and then he just shows up and he's working for the Mohovians. Okay. That's another one where I feel like they didn't know what to do with this man. Tobias assuming Black Lightning gets his power from the grid out of the blue. Yes. Reverend Holt out the blue. Podcasting live out the... Oh my God, when he said, this is Reverend Holt coming to you via radio and podcast. I was like, they don't know how podcasts work.
Okay, but he's an old black man. Were you really expecting him to know?
No, I'm expecting the writers to know and not say that.
No, I'm just saying he's an old black man.
No, I'm expecting the writers to not even put that line in. That was stupid.
Oh, come on. Have you not been watching this show?
It was so dumb. The kind of line they would put in. It was so dumb. Okay. Letting pod babies escape. WTF. They got me with the Markovia Wars and the Khalil reveal, though. I'll be back begrudgingly, but I really want them to write better. They're not gonna.
Okay. Just on a quick aside, the guy who's playing Khalil I didn't think they were going to bring him because he's in the show called The Fix.
He's also on Riverdale.
Oh, is he back on Riverdale?
I haven't seen him in a minute, but he just randomly will show back up.
Okay, but he's currently on this show called The Fix on ABC. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's sort of a relitigation of the OJ trial, kind of. That's the feel. I mean, it's executive produced by Marsha Clark. Mm-hmm. So... And he's playing like the main character's son. So I just thought he was going to, you know, do that and not come back. I'm like, oh, they're bringing him back. Oh, this could be really interesting. So
no, it won't.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's it. Okay, so that's it for this season of Black Lightning. I mean, like I said, I might tune in. I know you're going to tune in. If y'all think it's good, let us know. But I'm not holding out any hope at this point. I've lost all hope.
Yeah. I'm going to tune in. If you hear from us, know that it's gotten markedly better. It's gotten
Maybe if I'm not trying to watch it to critique it, I can just enjoy it and maybe I'll just be able to turn my brain off and enjoy it a little bit more. I don't know. But right now...
You're not going to be able to do that, even if you're not, you know, trying to critique it.
I watch a lot of stuff, but, you know, but right now, like, this is not a show I want to talk about every week. On a better note, on a lighter note, we are selling tickets for our live viewing of Avengers Endgame. We have one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast in LA. We are going to be doing giveaways at the event, prizes. At the LA event, we're going to do trivia contest. So Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Get your ticket. Go to endgame.mtrnetwork.net to check out the links to the different Coast events. And yeah, we can't wait to see everybody.
Can I ask you a question about that? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question about that. Are the theaters that you guys are showing these in set up for hard of hearing viewers?
I don't know. I mean, one is the one on the West Coast. Well, the one on the West Coast is Cinemark, and the I think the one on the East Coast is AMC, maybe.
Okay, and you should be fine.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know if you even have any hard of hearing people come to these viewings, but I guess just you know when you get the list of who's coming, just you know, make sure that the theater has enough of the little devices that you can use and that they're working.
Try and do is ask on the brown paper tickets. I believe there is a question that asks if you have any accessibility stuff.
Okay, that's cool.
I try and ask that for all the events that I plan. So thank you guys for listening. We may or may not see you. I mean, we'll see you on these other podcasts, but we will probably not see you for this one anymore. But, you know, that gives us space to add something else. Who knows? We might want to add Batwoman next season. I don't know. Anyway, we will talk to you soon. Bye.